Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Two quick stories here, and then we'll get into everything happening with Coach Prime and Shador Sanders. James Palmer, our guy who used to be the longtime NFL Network reporter, he is being told that the Chiefs are expecting that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended at least a half of this upcoming season. Now, we all know what the allegations were with Rashee Rice. I have to say allegations. We all saw what did transpire on video with the very fast pace that the cars were traveling and then the accident and then leaving the scene. And there were a bunch of, I believe it was guns that were in the vehicle as well. So the NFL is reportedly nothing official, but they're not messing around here. And he is expected to be suspended at least half of this upcoming season, according to James Palmer. Now, here's an interesting story, and it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. Michael Porter Jr., we all know what he's doing with the Denver Nuggets right now, as he's trying to win back-to-back NBA championships. So we already knew that his brother, Jonte Porter, was banned from the NBA for life for gambling. Then we also found out his other brother was sentenced to prison recently for killing a woman while drinking and driving. Now, this is a story out in Nine News, which is in Denver, that another brother for Michael Porter Jr. has been arrested now for DWI. So Michael Porter Jr. has done nothing wrong. He's on the verge of winning back-to-back NBA championships, or trying to. You have one brother who is suspended for what we think is life from the NBA for gambling. You have another brother, and I have no sympathy for people that drink and drive, but he has been sentenced to prison for killing a woman while drinking and driving. And then your other brother just got a DWI. The other brother is Javon Porter. Like, Javon, forget the gambling part, because that pales into comparison to the other thing. One of your brothers was just sentenced to prison for killing a woman while drinking and driving, and then you get a DWI? Man, you can't even make it up. And it's kind of crazy that mentally, Michael Porter Jr., who has done nothing wrong, but it's still his family, right? Like, three of your brothers, one is in prison, the other just got arrested for DWI, and the other plays in the NBA, or that's a loose term, sorry, playing in the NBA because he wasn't all that good, but, and he was hurt too, and he was like betting his unders or giving out information so people would bet the unders, and he bet against his team. Just like, what a mess. And even though his brothers are in the wrong, they're still your family. You know, you can't pick who is your family, but you still grew up with them. And it's just one bad story after another after another. And I don't care who you are, how rich and successful and famous you are. That's got to take a toll on you mentally, even if your brothers are in the wrong. Because like a regular person, your brothers do something wrong. Yeah, you have to deal with that. But you don't really have to answer for it. Like if you're Michael Porter Jr., but Michael Porter Jr. is a public figure. And there's always press media availabilities after these games. So I just wanted to make mention of that. Okay, let's get into this Coach Prime stuff. So Coach Prime recently had an article that was written about his program at Colorado. And remember when he took over as the head coach of Colorado, he said, I'm bringing my own luggage. I'm bringing my Louis Vuittons, right? And there's a lot of people in this program that aren't going to be a part of this program, and we're going to make you quit. So there was a writer at The Athletic who all the players that left Colorado, I guess he tried to catch up with a bunch of them. And there was one player, Xavier Smith, who said, who's now at Austin Peay. He said, I was actually getting mad, like tears coming to my eyes, because, bro, you've never even tried to get to know me. That was when, right, Coach Prime took over, said what he said, and he was in this meeting, and Coach Prime told Xavier Smith that you should enter the transfer portal. So that was one account. Now, Xavier Smith also said he was destroying guys' confidence and belief in themselves. The way he did it, it could have been done with a little more compassion. So, if that was just a story, right, most people probably wouldn't even have read it. Like, Samter, I will say, he passed along this story to me before Shador commented on it and before Coach Prime commented on it. And I was like, okay, it's a story of former players that were in the program that probably a lot of them had negative things to say because they were driven out of the program that they once did commit to. So whenever you have that story, you got to take it with a grain of salt, even though there could be a lot of truths in there. They weren't being given the opportunity to continue their career at Colorado. So Shador Sanders, the son of Deion Sanders and the quarterback at Colorado, said, I don't even remember him, to be honest, quote tweeting this story from The Athletic when talking about Xavier Smith. Bro had to be very mid at the best, at best. That's such like, what is, Shador is like 21, 22, I think. And I'm not a old, decrepit man. You know, I turn 30 in August, which is a weird statement to say. But Shador is 22. He turns 23 in February. The kids these days, they do use the word mid a lot. So, okay, you know that response is going to garner some attention. But it's Shador saying it, not Coach Prime saying it. So someone, like a random person, like someone on Twitter, tweets Coach Prime and says, tell your son to stop acting like he's the coldest one out there and then put up a 4-8 season. All right, so you have someone trying to get into a little bit of the kerfuffle, but it takes two to tango. Coach Prime responds, quote tweeting it, and says, he will be a top 5 pick. Where's your son going? LOL, LOL, I got time today. LOL, LOL. Is this mic on? Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. I got to pinch myself. Ow. We're living in this world. This is what we're doing. So I was a fan, and I still am a fan of Coach Prime. I think Coach Prime, I would have loved to have seen him coach in the SEC. I said that before he got the job at Colorado. Colorado, even though they only won 4 games last year, they were relevant, right? People cared, at least in September and October. Colorado was a fun story. And then they were really bad. And they won, after starting 3-0, they won 1 game down the stretch. And remember that game against Stanford where they had an enormous halftime lead and they choked it up in the second half? But even with me being a fan of Coach Prime, he's in the wrong here. So you have a former player who is disgruntled, whether he's right or wrong in what he's saying. He says what he says. He's entitled to that opinion. Your son then responds, when you were the head football coach, and I know what I'm getting with Coach Prime. I know what I'm getting with Deion Sanders, right? He is not your typical by-the-book, buttoned-up college football coach. But when you have a younger player saying what he said and then your son responding, you got to just stop it. You don't want to dump gasoline on the fire. You want to get a bucket of water and put out the fire. And all Deion Sanders did here was dump gasoline on this fire. And it doesn't do anyone good. And yes, last year people didn't even think Colorado was going to win four games. And they won four games. But when you start off 3-0, the expectations then turned into you got to be bowl eligible. And we know your son is a very good player, right? The quarterback class this year as we currently sit, it's not great. You know, I don't love Quinn Ewers as a pro prospect. We'll see the year Carson Beck has. He could be the first quarterback off the board. But right now, it is expected that Shedeur Sanders will be the first quarterback off the board in this upcoming draft class. But when you are the CEO of a program, and it's not the wrong decision for Colorado to hire Coach Prime, and he's already brought more juice that that program has had in at least 15 years, and he's at least made them a story of interest. He at least made them relevant. I'm not totally saying you got to turn away from Coach Prime. I'm not saying he is always in the wrong because he has done some good as a coach and has done a lot of good. But it seems like right now, Colorado is a little bit of a circus where it's more about how many celebrities can we get to games? How many fans in the stands can we get to the game? Can we get Fox and ESPN both on our campus at the same time? Eventually, though, the hype is going to fade away. And I hope it doesn't because I love Coach Prime and I want to see him succeed. But if you don't win, people are going to start to not care. The story was new last year. Now, in year number two, as you go to the Big 12, I'm not saying I expect them to get to a bowl game, but when you have a top five talent in Travis Hunter, let's not forget him, and then you have right now projected to be the first quarterback off the board in the draft in Shedeur Sanders, you have to get to a bowl game this year. And anything short of being bowl eligible, which is six wins, would be a disaster for Colorado, and it would be a failure. But with Coach Prime right now, I'm not saying I want him to be a typical coach. I'm not saying I want him to be a typical CEO, because that's not who he is. But there are some things that you need to be the bigger man, and you need to sit one out. So what? Xavier Smith says you didn't give him a fair chance. And then your son responds. You shouldn't be dumping a bucket of gasoline on this fire and giving this story more legs. That's what I'll say about Coach Prime. And Coach Prime's program isn't for everybody, right? He is a different coach, and that's fine. To turn around a program like that, you got to be different. But long term, from a football success, I'm starting to think that this doesn't work. I'm starting to think that when we look back at the Coach Prime era, you'd be like, okay, Colorado was fun. They were relevant early in the season. But as it goes on, how much winning did they actually do? And their schedule, I'm not saying, you know, they have an easy schedule for this upcoming year. But their schedule this year, it's not as if you look at the schedule and you go, oh my goodness gracious, they should be a bad team. North Dakota State, they're at Nebraska. You have Colorado State. Baylor, this is a big year for Dave Aranda. And not a lot of confidence there. UCF, Kansas State, Arizona, Cincinnati, Texas Tech. Utah's always a great program under Whittingham. Kansas and Oklahoma State. It's not as if this is murderer's row and just tough opponent after tough opponent after tough opponent. So, yeah, Coach Prime, you don't get to a bowl game this year, it's a bad look. It is a bad look. And then I think all the fun that people have with Colorado, the act starts to get old a little bit because at the end of the day, people want to win. Samter, what are you going to say?
I mean, we just remember also, I mean, obviously they have Travis Hunter there, but their other big-time recruit that they got, Cormani McClain, he's transferring out. And when he left, he threw the program under the bus. So, like, Shador might not remember this other guy, but Shador sure as hell remembers Cormani McClain, the five-star corner who's leaving. He said, I want to change the narrative of everyone. I want to be part of a real and great program that's going to actually impact me at the best of my ability. I feel like I don't want to just play for clicks. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players. This is what's starting to happen. Dion, Coach Prime, felt like this hot,
be
fun new
thing. Be respectful, by the way. If Coach Prime is listening, I'm a believer. You got to call him Coach Prime, even though he did say to me a few years ago, I could call him Deion Sanders.
You know what? When he wins, when he makes a bowl game, I'll call him Coach Prime. For now, he's Deion. He hasn't earned Coach Prime yet. All right? He hasn't even made a bowl game. When he gets there, I'll call him that.
Okay.
All I'm saying is he's fun. We love to see what they're building.
Makes Colorado exciting.
But there's just a lot of flaws and holes, right? When your top recruit leaves and throws the program under the bus, when Deion says, I don't go on recruiting visits, like, yeah, I get it. People want to come to you.
Yeah, that's going to have to change, though.
Yeah, people are going to come to you because you're Deion. I get it. But you're not going to get all the stars to come to you. A lot of them are going to want you to come to them and to woo them. And this idea of like, oh, well, if I go to one school, they're going to be pissed I didn't go to another school. Well, you know what? Other coaches deal with it and make it work. You're never going to compete with the top talent like the Texases and the Georgias and the Alabamas. You're never going to compete with them if you're not taking this as seriously as these programs do. And I think that Deion thinks, well, I'm Coach Prime. I can just do whatever the hell I want. It's not going to work that way because eventually these kids are going to get tired of the circus. It's like the Cowboys in the NFL. They're great. They're the kings. If you do well there, you make money after your career. But if you don't win, you become a laughingstock. And that's what's going to happen to Colorado if they don't start winning right away because guys are leaving and guys are not happy.
So let me get to Shador Sanders, who Coach Prime said is going to be a top five pick. I think there's a chance that that happens. I don't love this quarterback class right now. I'll be curious how we're talking about Quinn Ewers at the end of the year, Carson Beck, and Shador Sanders, and who else does emerge, because there's always a name or two that emerges. But I look around the NFL right now. Next year, absolutely, the Raiders will be in the market for a quarterback, and also the Giants will be in a market for a quarterback. And I'll make a prediction right now, and maybe this is more based off, I hope this happens, because I think it would be fun. And let's see if Shador could get through the season healthy. They revamped that offensive line, but just because you revamped that offensive line doesn't mean that you actually got it better. The Jets have been revamping that offensive line here in New York for 7 years, and they still haven't been able to put out a formidable offensive line. I want to see Shador Sanders next year get drafted by Stuart Kovacs' Las Vegas Raiders. Hopefully Devontae Adams is still there. You have Shador Sanders. You take a look. Antonio Pierce is the head coach. Max Crosby on the defensive side of the ball. The Raiders need a quarterback. And next year, an early draft look ahead. There's not a lot of teams that need a quarterback because either they have their guy or they just drafted someone or signed one. Like, Bills don't need a quarterback. Dolphins will see if they get the deal done with Tua, but I don't think he's going anywhere. Rodgers probably back next year. The Patriots just drafted Drake May. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson. The Browns have Deshaun Watson. The Steelers, I think either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields will be there next year. The Bengals have Joe Burrow. Texans have C.J. Stroud. Jaguars, make or break year for Trevor Lawrence. They're not moving on from Trevor Lawrence though after this season. Indianapolis, they're going to give it the a chance to Anthony Richardson here his first full year, hopefully. Tennessee, maybe with Will Levis. This is a prove-it year. Kansas City, we know they have Mahomes. Broncos, they just drafted Bo Nix. Chargers have Justin Herbert. Cowboys, maybe they get a deal done with Dak. If not, throw Shador Sanders in the mix there. You know Jerry Jones and Coach Prime would like to make that happen. Eagles have Jalen Hurts. Commanders just got Jaden Daniels. Lions have Jared Goff. Packers have Jordan Love. Vikings just drafted J.J. McCarthy. Caleb Williams just drafted, got drafted by the Bears. Tampa Bay just signed Baker Mayfield. Saints could use a quarterback, but they're tied down to the Derek Carr contract. Falcons have two quarterbacks. Panthers have Bryce Young. 49ers have Brock Purdy. Rams have Matthew Stafford. Seahawks could use a quarterback, and the Cardinals have Kyler Murray. Like, I know every year there are teams that need quarterback, but heading into the draft or looking at this season, the draft next year may not even have a quarterback go number one overall. But someone will always find a way to go in the top five, in the top 10. It feels like that. I know Kenny Pickett was the lone exception that year that he did go in the first round. and he went at like 19 or 20, whatever it was. But Shedeur Sanders, that market, I think the Raiders. That's the first name that I thought of that will definitely have an opening. And I don't see why Coach Prime, especially with Tom Brady potentially in the fold with the Raiders, and Shedeur and Brady, I think, have formulated a relationship. Don't be surprised when Shedeur Sanders is getting drafted by Stu's Raiders next year. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get to a news brief next.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's go to Bears defensive back Jalen Johnson. He was on the Parkins and Spiegel show on 670 The Score in the Windy City, Chicago. And he was asked about his comments in this past offseason when he was talking about potentially Caleb Williams coming into the locker room and how he'd have to leave the Hollywood stuff at the door. Here is Jalen Johnson, now knowing that Caleb Williams is his QB1.
That conversation was took completely the wrong way. People, to me, just wanted clickbait and
didn't even
take in consideration of the whole context of the damn conversation. Because when we were talking, she had brought up the whole, like, how do you feel about Caleb Williams? If he comes, you guys do draft him, and he's like Hollywood, and he brings out, like, how do you think the Hollywood will come into the locker room? And she kept using the word Hollywood. I don't know the dude. So I ain't never just, oh yeah, he's Hollywood, he's this, he's that. I don't know the dude. So when she was talking about Hollywood, I'm like, well, she's like, he coming here being Hollywood, like, we gonna see through that. So I spoke my truth on her saying, oh, that he's Hollywood. Everybody just like, oh yeah, Jalen just feels like he's Hollywood. He just has this, is he jealous? Or does he have this mentality of it's my locker room now? Like, man. If you know me, that ain't ever been me. I ain't know this my locker room type of cat. If anybody know me, hey, I'm the coolest in the locker room. I'm open for whoever to come in the locker room as long as we winning games and making strides in the right direction. But I mean, for me, he texted me and we had talked to each other a little bit. I cleared the air. Just like, hey, look, that wasn't what it was supposed to be. Like, hey, I don't know you, but he hit me. Just like, hey, like, bro, I'm a winner. I just want to win. Da 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 da. We had that conversation. I'm like, nah, like, it's all good. And then I talked a little trash about Utah and USC, and then it was all good.
Oh, boy. I always love the let's blame the media when you're the one that said the comments. Even if Kay Adams, right, talks about the Hollywood stuff, you also, though, did go on to answer by saying you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially with guys that have played the game at a high level for consecutive years. That's what you said. So even if Kay put the ball on the tee, you don't need to go hit a grand slam. You hit a grand slam for Kay Adams. That's what you did when you went on her show. All you needed to say was, a lot of people say things about people. We'll get to know him when he comes in that locker room. I'm very excited for him to lead the franchise. That's it. You didn't take the bait on that. Instead, you did take the bait. So stop with the, oh, what I said was taken out of context and she set me up, blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of bullcrap. Davante Adams, this was very interesting. He was on The Rush with Max Crosby. It's the Rush with Max podcast. And this is what he had to say about Jordan Love of the Packers.
At the time when I was there, I hadn't necessarily seen enough to say this is for sure what I should do. But in hindsight, like we talked about, I mean, the kid is a baller, man. I'm so happy for him. And you know, I haven't really had a chance to truly sit down and talk with him, but I want to tell him at some point, like, you know, I definitely don't regret changing, but I'm super proud of what you've done. And, you know, if there was a way I could pull you over here and, you know, and drag you with me like that, you know, that would have been cool too. Cause you know, obviously we saw what he did at the end of the year, but, I don't regret what I did, but at the same time, it's definitely, you look back on it, you're like, damn, that boy got a ball. Right.
Could he be the next one?
Could he be? I mean, I think he is. I think he's shown that. Yeah. And he's starting to come into his own. I mean, you can see the way he's talking in front of the media and everything. It's just like a whole different person than what I saw when I was there. Yeah. And that comes with experience.
Stu, I have to ask you your thoughts on this. But before I ask you your thoughts on this, I have to say, we are men. We don't lie to one another, right? You lie to other people when it's three friends sitting down having a chat. We do not lie to each other, and that's what we have here with Moist Mike, you, and yours truly. Now, the same should be said for teammates with Devontae Adams and Max Crosby. When you get to the line of, I don't regret anything by Devontae Adams, I think that's a lie. Your thoughts?
100% agree. He says he doesn't regret it, but I think he has some regrets.
Yeah. Now, I understand why Devontae Adams had his feelings hurt in Green Bay, because he knows that Rodgers was more important to him, but they were paying too much attention to Aaron Rodgers, and they left that contract situation without a great resolution, and it felt like it was all attention to Rodgers, 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 and even though at the end of the day they made him a better offer than what the Raiders ended up paying him, he was like, screw this. I'm sick and tired of the drama show. But then you get to the Raiders, you think you're going to play with Derek Carr, your former college quarterback at Fresno State, and then the McDaniel stuff happened, which it was probably good to get rid of Carr, but they've never were able to really find that replacement. And then you see Rodgers goes to New York, Love then takes the reins in Green Bay, a place that you love playing for, and Jordan Love looks like he's going to be at the bare minimum a damn good quarterback in this league. So Adams had an all-pro season. But he's like sitting there 2 years into this Raiders tenure, and he's like, ugh. I knew every year I was at least in the playoffs. I was competing for a Super Bowl, even though we didn't get there. I had a quarterback in Rodgers. Now Jordan Love's taking over him with the Raiders. Yeah, I like Antonio Pierce. I like Max Crosby, but we don't have a great quarterback in this league. I still keep on saying this. I think this year will be the last year for Devontae Adams with the Raiders, regardless of what he says. Here is Peter Schrager on Barstool Sports. I believe this was part of my take. He told the story about how the Saints almost drafted Patrick Mahomes, and there is a fascinating war room story that involves Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Listen up.
Payton was with the Saints, and they had the 11th pick in the draft in 2017, and they wanted Mahomes. Like, Mahomes number one on their board. And they hadn't told Brees. They had no intention of telling Brees. But if Mahomes somehow fell to 11, they were taking a quarterback. And then Drew Brees, out of nowhere, had never done this in his career, called up Sean Payton. They're like best friends. And it's like, I've got a couple buddies in town. Is it cool if I bring them to the war room tonight for the draft? Uh-huh. So then Sean has to decide, like, what do I do here? And he tells the story. So right then and there, I'm like, sure. And then I pulled Drew aside. And I'm like, there's a chance. There's this kid from Texas Tech who really like there's a chance he might take him. And as picks go by, one by one by one, like, he sits Drew down, like, 7th pick overall, and he says to Drew, he's like, we're going to take the Texas Tech quarterback. And Brees is like, you got to do what you got to do for the future. I totally get it. Like, Brees was cool about it. And then Andy Reid trades up 1 pick before them, gets Mahomes. They take Marshawn Lattimore, and Brees was there to watch it all.
So it's a shame, but it's pretty damn cool that the Saints had this plan. And in the ideal world, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but there's a time and place where you have to be honest with someone, especially when you've won a Super Bowl with them and they've been the face of your franchise. So I understand what the Saints were doing, where they were going to wait until they took Mahomes to then tell Drew Brees. But then when Brees says, I'm going to bring some of my buddies to the war room, is that cool? It's like, okay, you have to have that honest conversation, because if you had that conversation when they were on the clock about to take Patrick Mahomes, that could have been really embarrassing and really ugly. So in an ideal world, the Saints were probably about to take him. Then you tell him. But once he says, I'm going to be in the war room, Drew, we have to have an honest conversation. That's fascinating. Here is Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast, his podcast, saying Drew Locke could actually win the starting quarterback job this year for the New York Football Giants.
I believe Drew Locke, he's got a really good shot of winning that job. He's going to be in the mix there. So they were comparing, Daniel Jones and Drew Locke, and I would emphasis on Drew Locke, to the quarterbacks that were going to be there. And I think the line for them was Drake May. After that, they weren't taking that.
I have a tough time seeing Drew Locke being the starting quarterback week one for the New York Giants. But remember when John Schneider went on a local radio show out in Seattle right when Drew Locke signed there? And they were like, oh, why didn't you bring Drew back? He's like, oh, well, the Giants guaranteed him a spot to compete for the starting job. And then the Giants quickly refuted that. And Drew Locke did at the introductory press conference. Said, no, I know I'm here to back up Daniel Jones. I think there was some truth in that, but I do believe Daniel Jones will start week one. I do not think, though, he will keep the job for the entirety of the season, if it's either because of poor play or because of injuries. Here is Joel the Process Embiid on the Hostile Knicks crowd last night.
It's not hostile. I mean, I love New York. New York is, you know, my favorite city in the world. I have a place here for the past 5 years, so you know, I just love New York. And then the fans, you know, when you play against a team, you know, they're always gonna pick that guy, and you know, they seem to have picked me, which is fine. I love it. You know, if I gotta be the punching bag, and you know, and you hear a lot of, you know, F and B, you know, that's okay. I love it. You know, I wish I was myself. So, I mean, it usually gets me going in those situations because you want to put yourself in those situations and kind of shut them up.
Now, Leon Rose once represented Joel Embiid when he was an agent. Now Leon Rose is the president of the Knicks. That sounds like Joel Embiid, when he is the villain in New York for this series, is basically saying, hey, Leon, you want to eventually get a deal for me and get a deal done? I would be interested in playing for the Knicks. How much he's talking about how much he does love New York. Finally, here's Jalen Brunson as the Knicks choked away Game 5, which would have ended the series if they didn't do so on the heartbreaking Game 5 loss.
It's frustrating, obviously, the way it happened, but we can't hang our heads, and we got to come back stronger and be ready to go and just learn from what we did.
So there you go. Very buttoned up Jalen Brunson, and we'll see what happens in Game 6. I would be surprised if we are not heading towards a Game 7 where I still believe the Knicks will win. So yesterday, we were giving out our Super Bowl predictions. Early, early, early. Do not hold you to it. Super Bowl predictions. I said, all right, in the AFC, I'll go with Buffalo, and I'll have them lose in the Super Bowl to the Detroit Lions. Stu, what was your prediction? Did you go, 49ers, Bengals, I think?
That is correct, yes.
And who'd you have winning?
Do we pick winners? I don't think we picked winners.
I don't know. Pick one today, then.
I'll go with the Bengals.
And Santer, your Super Bowl prediction was Kansas City beating who?
Chiefs and Lions. My heart says Chiefs. My brain says the Lions are going to win it all.
Ah, how about that? Now, Ack looked at me yesterday when the segment ended, and Ack walked in like halfway through the segment, you know, getting ready to do his update, and he goes, I can't believe you didn't ask me. And he goes,
I didn't say that. I just blurted out my choice.
Now, Ack said, you put me on the air, you dope. You respect the legend that's Rich Ackerman.
Also not said.
I need you to tell the listening audience who I think my early Super Bowl pick is. You started to sound like a star wide receiver in the NFL, honestly.
You know, if I can get their salary, it'd be okay.
If that's the case, if Ack gets 1 year of a wide receiver salary, mm-hmm. Ack is retiring right after that 1 year
that's
of that
right.
contract.
Exactly. I'll just live off the interest.
And deactivating his Twitter.
Yes.
So what is your Super Bowl prediction?
Well, I went through a couple of teams in the AFC, and I know you were looking for one. Samter went chalk, basically. You know, Stu had an interesting one. And I started thinking, you know, one of these years it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens. They always draft well. They got an MVP caliber quarterback. I'm a big fan of John Harbaugh. Their special teams are always good. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just got stuck on Harbaugh, and I kind of veered a little.
Mm.
And I said, you know, how about Jim Harbaugh and the L.A. Chargers?
Wow. And I don't see that one.
And, well, you know, they have a very good offensive line.
But you're out
line,
there. I give it to you.
Bolstered by Joe Alt. And look, you know, he took a three-win team to the NFC Championship in his first year with the 49ers, a Super Bowl in year two, conference championship in year three before it kind of went south in year four. But, you know, he can turn around quickly. He's got a franchise quarterback. You know, need some wide receivers, but you know, that line should be good. They got, you know, they got some big playmakers on defense. You know, why not a big turnaround? It's not a very tough division with the exception of the Super Bowl champs, of course. But, you know, you have two also-rans in the
Mahomes guy, pretty damn good.
You know, that Mahomes guy. You know, but the other part of it, though, is, and with all due respect to the Chiefs, because they're phenomenal, mm-hmm. but you just say, how many years can they keep making a deep playoff run? At some point, all those games have to catch up with them. So that was part of the,
okay,
just say, hey, look, they can still make the playoffs.
You know what? Even though I disagree with it, I respect it because everyone's going to give you the Chiefs or the Bengals in the AFC.
Exactly. Why not go out on a limb? And if you're going to go out on a limb, let's see what you got, Jim.
Now, I will say, wait a second, Jim. I will say, I was not expecting you to have a bold Super Bowl prediction.
Like, there you
go. I think Rich Ackerman,
shake it up.
No offense. I do not think bold prediction.
Okay. So. I'm a pretty conservative guy, but,
yeah.
You know, that's why I was leaning toward the Ravens. But I just said one of these years, you know, the Chiefs can't get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, maybe it's next year. I don't know. But I said, you know what? Look, if there crazier things have happened, so I'm going on the Jim Harbaugh bandwagon.
How about that? Who's got it better than Ack?
That's right.
Nobody.
And we'll then take he can get another tattoo underneath the Michigan.
We will take a break when we come on back. I'm just being a good friend here today. I got to check in with some Knicks fans and see how they're doing. We'll check in with Ryan Hickey. We'll check in with Manny Rodriguez. We'll check in with Pat Boyle. A lot of talking from those three. And their Knicks choked it up. We'll check in with them next. Update time. Here's Zach. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Alejandro Miami says, Zach, who do you like in the two NBA games tonight? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I like the Celtics to end the Heat season tonight, and I like the Mavericks on the road to take care of the Clippers. But the biggest story of the night, last night we saw the New York Knicks choke a six-point lead with 30 seconds to go. The series was almost over. The Knicks absolutely choked.
Go New York, go New York, go!
So I have to be a good coworker and a good friend, and I have to check in with some dear colleagues of mine and some confidants of mine that are Knicks fans. Let's start with Manny Rodriguez. I saw him very depressed this morning on the YouTube chat for Maggie and Perloff. Manny, let me just get your answer on this. How are you feeling today? And take me back through last night as you saw your Knicks almost win the series and then choke that game, and now we have a game six tomorrow evening.
Pain, pure pain, Zach. I have never felt this type of pain before in my life. This is awful. I am so upset. I am so mad at how the last 30 seconds of regulation went. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for the Knicks. And honestly, it's sophomoric, it's pathetic, and asinine how they handled the last 30 seconds of regulation.
Yeah, you had a lot of pain this morning. I saw a video shot of you, and it looked like your dog. Like almost just died. That's how sad you were. It was actually, I felt terrible for you today, Manny. I did.
Yeah, no. I mean, it didn't help that I had to go in at 6 a.m. to go produce a show for stupid Philadelphian Andrew Perloff. Either it was god awful. I mean, at least he's pessimistic and knows what's going to happen in Game Six. But I mean, it did not help that I had to go see his face at 6 a.m.
Wait, what's your prediction here? What are the Knicks doing tomorrow night?
Oh, the Knicks are coming home with a victory. Come on now.
All righty, series over. Thank you, Manny. Let's check in with Pat Boyle. Pat Boyle, last night, take me through what you were feeling as the New York Knicks choked the game away.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go!
What do you got to say, Patty Boyle? Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Zach? How you doing, guys?
That's a depressed AO. Usually it's, I'm Pat Boyle. I'm the face and the voice of Infinity Sports Network and WFAN. AO, you sound depressed. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. It was the Game 2 miracle, and it was the Game 5 collapse. I had never experienced a greater Knick win in my life when they won in Game 2 in miraculous fashion. Last night, I have never experienced a more crushing Knicks loss. Just absolutely unbelievable how, like Manny just said, every single thing that needed to go wrong in those final 30 seconds went wrong. And when when Tyrese Maxey pulls up from the logo, you just knew it was going in. You knew it was going in, and then Jalen Brunson played the worst 3 minutes I've seen him play in this series, and that's saying something because he was pretty mediocre in games 1 and 2. But you know what, Zach? The pain has started to subside. It has started to wash away like a bad hangover. And I'm ready to booze up, and I'm ready to deliver the knockout kill to the pathetic city of Philadelphia tomorrow night, where the owners have to buy tickets for their fans because the Knicks ran them out of their own building in Game 4, and they're going to do the same thing again tomorrow night.
You know that the Sixers are sending this back to Madison Square Garden for a Game 7, right?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be stunned, Zach, because I will be on the air hosting a show in New York on WFAN on Saturday night. And just how fitting would it be if I have to be on the air, palms sweating, knees weak, arms are heavy, with blood pressure through the roof, anxiety on every moment, and I have to try to do a radio show during Game 7.
You know what? I would, play the small violin.
I would not be stunned if it does go back to Game 7, but there is no prayer. No shot the Knicks lose this series.
What happens if the Knicks lose this series? Have you got to that part yet?
I don't know if I can show my face. I don't know if I can show my face again around the radio station.
All righty, get rid of Boyle.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go!
Now, maybe the biggest sports fan I know, a man that wears his emotions on his sleeves, and when the Knicks are winning last night, I know what Ryan Hickey was doing. He was like, let's go, yeah, Knicks, Philly, yeah, yeah, here we go, Knicks, yeah! 6-point lead with 30 seconds to go, and your team choked it away, and you lost in overtime. Give me the Hickey reaction.
Shock. I mean, hats off Tyrese Maxey. He was tremendous. That was an
Stop
unbelievable
being respectful
performance.
Here.
I'm
all
just
right?
saying.
It you was, guys all I, sound like you're doing these
shocked.
Interviews. I want your fan reaction.
I was cursing out. What
Thank
do you want
you.
To say? I was pissed. That was an awful that was the worst minute of play on offense and defense I've ever seen under the Tom Thibodeau era. And it was a disgrace, but I've moved on. I'm ready to go. It was awful. It was awful.
Are you actually confident that they're going to win?
I am.
Game six?
Oh, they're smoking Philly. Lock it up. They are smoking the Sixers. The owners know. Play the song. They'll play it tomorrow, basically. Ownership has no faith in the fan base. The fan base is not showing up. Why? Because they have no faith in the team. Sixers at home, game six, not a good history. Repeats itself again tomorrow night. Knicks win.
Now, you have a reputation around here. I wonder why. I don't know why you have this reputation. It couldn't be me. But there is someone that has highlighted how wrong your predictions have been. The official prediction from Hot Take Hickey is Knicks and six. Am I
Knicks
hearing this
and
right?
It should have been Knicks and five. That prediction was going to be
but
right.
But you choked.
For 47 minutes, that looked good. Knicks and six. They
you know
by
the
five.
Game is 48 in regulation.
Unfortunately, I know.
What was the worst part of the loss last night? Was it not fouling where Maxey hits the big three, Mitchell Robinson with the foul, the Knicks sucking you back in overtime and then blowing it again, and Embiid sucking for the first 48 minutes of regulation then coming up big in overtime? What was
it's
the
toughest
part?
It's probably the Josh Hart missed free throw.
Oh,
because
the Hart missed free throw.
Because if he makes the free throw, that idiotic attempt by Mitchell Robinson to block a three-point shot in a six-point game that means nothing if he makes it or not, is erased. You make your free throws, it's over. And that's probably the worst part. You had the game in your hands and you blew it.
Look me in the eyes real quickly.
Sure.
Knicks and six?
Knicks and six. I'm not kidding. There's no doubt.
You don't
I am very
that.
No, I am very excited.
I know you well.
This
Knicks
okay.
and seven, not
really
Knicks
fast.
And six.
Game two, game five, you could say both flukes at the end of the game with how each team won. The Knicks have been the better team in the other three games, and Embiid's going to go MIA in the fourth quarter again. As long as you don't allow Maxey to go nuclear, you're winning this game, and he's not going nuclear
What happens
again.
If they lose the series?
Devastation. That's the worst. That is the second worst series loss in history in the NBA. Only behind the Warriors 3-1 in the Sixers.
Hey, Stu,
in the finals.
Give me the sounder one more time.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go!
I hope we get it. I am not rooting against the Knicks because I love Leon Rose, but I hope we get a Hickey instant reaction miserable video coming your way over the weekend. We out, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.